Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master and our Elohim, our Savior and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say good morning to everyone. We pray that everybody got the prescribed rest last night and that you are hungry for the word of the Most High this morning. We are going to continue in this Present Yourself a Living Sacrifice. And coming from the standpoint of that we are the tabernacle. And so this morning I want to tie together the precept that was done yesterday where Messiah was crucified, and that's where we're going to start today, where he was crucified, and the veil that was in the tabernacle or in the temple was ripped in half. And so we're going to pick it up there this morning so that we can tie this together with him being the first living tabernacle and with the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh to mankind. We become those tabernacles as well, those living tabernacles, and that we want to present ourselves, you know, a living sacrifice to the Most High in this service to him. So we have a bit of reading to do this morning, but I think that, you know, I can show where, how all this ties together, that we know who and what we are, okay, and what we actually offer to mankind. On the 28th, and I'll check this date. I don't know what why I'm having a problem with dates right now. But it should be a holy convocation, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I pray that you have, you know, tried to reach out to someone. Again, this time really should be spent doing what we're going to be doing in the future, which is inviting the Gentile nations to service, but they got to come to Jerusalem to service, and teaching them the word of the Most High. You know, maybe our people still need it just as much as they do. Nevertheless, I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether it's South America, North America, the African continent, or the European continent. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Let us do the necessary, which is our statement of faith. You know, I don't want to know why I keep wanting to act like I'm young and don't need my glasses. Craziness. All right. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Also give him the praise of your lips, the praise of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for keeping us safe tonight, Father. Thank you for allowing us to come back together again. Thank you for your wonderful gift of salvation and for your mercy and for your grace. Father, we just love you. We love you. We love you, Father, and we adore you. We adore you and we magnify your glory, Father. We magnify you. We lift you up and we extol thee, Father. We extol thee. We lift you up on high. We worship no other Elohim but you, Father. And we thank you for all that you do for us, for all that you provide for us. Hallelujah. 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 There is no Elohim but God. Oh, yeah. Elohim. We will not worship or bow to anyone or anything else but you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Men of the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Turn toward the east. holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Father Yah, we come before you today, Father, speaking your word and your wisdom. Father, we pray that you would be here and that we have prepared a place in our hearts for you, that you would be amongst us. Father, come and sup with us. Feed us, your children, that we might be nourished in your ways. We might be nourished by the good word and by the good food and by your spirit. And Father, we'd be so careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Go to 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of His Word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. You know, I pray that when we read those verses that we really hear what the Most High is saying to us in those. Obey my voice. I've set before you two choices. You are the people that I chose. Choose me. That's what I hear the Most High saying. Obey my voice and I will be your Elohim and you will be my people. I pray we can hear that and that it really... I know when I read it and I reaffirm it, and that's why I keep reading those same verses, you know, every service, to reaffirm in our spirit, number one, who we are. Number two, what choice do we have? I set before you two choices, and to obey His voice. You know, those are powerful scriptures that for me reaffirm what we are to be doing all the time so that I don't lose focus on what the true mission is. You know, so I pray that it does the same thing for you. Let us have the sounding of the shofar.
But what is the use when you won't serve him? I high about you, just for the Lord right now. The Most High is the best. Ain't nobody greater. He'll help you do your test. Ain't nobody greater.
He's your God.
Oh, yeah. When problems like the down, so please. There's nothing wrong with breaking God's laws. You say that there's nothing wrong, and nothing bad will happen to you. But don't you know if you don't repent? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know if you repent? But don't you know to save your life? But don't you know you're gonna die? The Most High is the best. Nobody greater. We'll help you through your test. Ain't nobody greater.
He's your God.
Oh, yeah.
He's his God.
When problems knock you down,
when it gets hard,
so please,
please just remember this.
Ain't nobody greater. Sometimes in our lives we will make mistakes, but you gotta pray. He who overcomes will inherit all things. God's name for all that sin and that falling short of the glory of God. God touches our hearts and He fresh the mind. He treats you as you are and not what you pretend to be.
The Most High is the best. Ain't nobody greater.
I'm not afraid to
Let us go to the book of Matthews. The book of Matthews, chapter 15. Let's get verses 37 and 38. The book of Matthews, chapter 15, verses 37 and 38. And Yeshua cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. Now, as I said yesterday, this signified that the Most High was not going to meet Israel any longer in the temple. The Holy of Holies, the veil that was before the Holy of Holies, the high priest went into this veil one time a year on the Day of Atonement, and the Most High would meet him there. And he would have to have made sacrifices for himself and sacrifices for the people. And then the Most High would either give him a blessing for the people, atonement for the next year and a blessing, or sometimes he died in there and they had to pull him out. And so this ripping of the veil in two signified that he was no longer going to meet the high priest or Israel inside the temple or the tabernacle. It's going to do it a new way. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we're going to get verses 1 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 25. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year after year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So the sacrifices that were made under the law never gave men a clear conscience. You know, anytime that something else is suffering for you and you consider it to be less than you, you know, you can sin and bring a sacrifice and sin again and bring a sacrifice, but your conscience is never changed. Your conscience is not seared. You know, there's no change in heart. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So every year when the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies to make an atonement, and Israel was supposed to afflict itself, the whole nation, it was the remembrance of what? Your sins past, what you had, the sins that you have committed that year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Now, the Most High wanted a way to reconcile this thing called sin that man had. But man is the one that sinned against him, not the animal. So, technically speaking, up under the covenant, even up under what, you know, Adam and Eve were under, their covenant was, don't eat from that one tree. They broke that covenant. We stepped into the covenant that we told the Most High that we would obey his voice and all that he said we would do. And in both cases, the breaking of the covenant required the life of something. If the Most High had started with the life of Adam and Eve, we probably would not be here. Maybe it would be a different pair that he had to start with. We would start to be talking about, you know, somebody else. And we would be talking about Adam and Eve, but how they, what, failed and broke the covenant. The Most High allowed the animal sacrifice, the animals to die in man's place as a substitute, but not as a payment. And so he had to make it to where there was a man that would qualify as the sacrifice. He called this man the Messiah. And through Messiah, when he looked down through history, he said, hey, I don't see anybody that's going to be able to do that. So I have to come myself and do something that, you know, that I don't see a man in history being able to do. And I'm going to suffer and experience the same thing that my creation, my jewel and my creation experience, so that I can identify with them. My nature is this way, but I need to also understand what he's going through in this flesh, so that what I'm asking him, is he truly able to do it? So, it'd be something, the Most High came in flesh and said, well, wait a minute, I put more on this man than he can handle. And, this flesh is something else, and it is something else. But he didn't come, he put himself up under the same pressure he put us up under. It says that he was tempted at every point, at every way. But he sinned not. So he's telling us, yeah, I know what I put on you, and you can overcome it. You can not sin. So the sin that you have committed, these animals can't pay for that. I require the blood of a man. It is a man that sinned against me. I require the blood of a man. And since I can't find a man that's never going to sin, I'm going to come myself as a man. And I'm going to pay the price that you can't pay for yourself. So he says, a body thou hast prepared me. He's writing it in such a way that it sounds like he's preparing someone else a body, but the scriptures tell us in different places who he is that came. So we sort of went through that yesterday. And so the scriptures are written in such a way that, yeah, you have to search him out. But the truth of the matter is, the one that came is the Most High himself. He says, and I'm going to pay the price that you can't pay for yourself. Now, when we realize, you know, whether it was just a man or whether it was the Most High, when we realize this, that somebody was willing to lay down their life to pay the price where you and I couldn't pay it for ourselves. We were conceived in sin. We were conceived in iniquity. And so we couldn't qualify. And so we would always forever be in this status, a sinner. But the Most High says, no, I'm going to do one better. Not only could these bulls and goats not give you a conscience concerning sin because you just killed more bulls and goats, but when you realize who it is that came and paid the price, and he says, now if you accept this, I'm going to change your status. I'm not only going to pay the price for you, but I'm going to change your status from being a sinner to being not a sinner. I'm going to not only forgive that debt, but I'm going to do it in such a way that it changes your status. So, you know, I use the example of if I loan you $100, and then I forgive you that $100. That $100 represents sin. Okay, so you're in debt, and it, you know, the scriptures talk about sin being debt. The wages of sin is what? Debt. The earnings of sin. So when we sin, we get in debt. Now to come out of that debt, you got to be able to pay it back. If I just forgive you the debt, then you are a forgiven debtor. You're still a debtor, though. You're still a sinner. You're just a forgiven sinner, a forgiven debtor. Okay, and the only way for you to change that is to actually pay it back. You don't owe me anymore. You're no longer a debtor. The Most High says, I'm going to do this in such a way that you don't have to pay me back. It's not required, and I'm going to change your status. But you now belong to me. This is not for free. So he changes our status to where we can have a clear conscience. I'm no longer a debtor. No, you're no longer a debtor. As long as you are doing what you're supposed to do, I'm never going to call this debt back on you. I'm going to throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. I'm going to forget all about it unless you start doing stuff to bring it back up. And so he changes our status. And so we're supposed, then if we know that we are no longer a debtor, we don't owe anything, we don't have any sin accounted against us unless we go back into sin, then he says now you can have a clear conscience. Because like it should feel like you had a load lifted off. See, I don't think that people really realize the weight of sin and what the weight that it puts on a person. When you sin, and you know the bad feelings and the guilt and everything that comes along with it, and then when we understand who we have sinned against and you know how is that going to turn out for us, yada yada yada, the weight of it. When we come to him and if we have understanding that he removed this, then a weight should come off of you. And when we, you know, come before him in the spirit of truth with understanding that, okay, this is what the Most High has done. And from this point forward, I am committed I am signed on. And like I said for myself, even, you know, for me, when the Most High showed me this, because I saw that I was condemned, even in my walk, because I was willfully sinning after I had come into the knowledge of the truth. And I had to go before the Most High and beg him, please don't impute this against me. And I still don't know. But as I said, from that point on to the day that I die, I will serve him with everything that I am, and I will not intentionally sin. I will not intentionally do what I know is wrong. And it's going to be, you know, up to his mercy, his grace. He can still say no. And I will still do it the same way because I want to have the chance to enter in. So having a clear conscience toward him, I serve him. I have a clear conscience. I also know that it's on his mercy. He says, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And he looks at the heart. You know, so if we are doing things in ignorance, or we're doing things and we are trying to, you know, still trying to do our dirt and still claim the kingdom, I know he's not going to honor that. We've got far greater chance of straightening out and walking straight before him and having him to honor that, you know, we truly did repent and we truly did, you know, turn around. And it was with a spirit of gladness, you know, with joy, for we finally understood what he has done for us. Okay, so a body he prepared, hast thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. When we are going through the covenant and we're looking at the law of animal sacrifice, and, you know, the peace offering and the free will offering and the meal offering and the sin offering, certain of those sacrifices were a sweet smell in his nose. He enjoyed those. But anything that was for sin, he did not like it. It wasn't a sweet smell in his nostril, because it was for sin. Somebody had been disobedient, and here this animal has to die. And the flesh and the fat of this animal burning on the altar didn't smell good to him, because the reason for it was wrong. And so he says it plainly right here. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. But if you go back and you look at some of those burnt offerings, he'll tell you, yeah, that was a sweet smell in my nose. When we came with a free will offering, because we just wanted to make a sacrifice to him. It wasn't for sin. It wasn't because we needed anything. It was because we knew that it smelled good to him, that it was something that pleased him. He says, yeah, that smells good to me. But anything that we did for sin, he never liked it, never wanted it. It was to keep from killing us. And so we got to understand, you know, that this is where he's coming from. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O Elohim. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. So, you know, all over the place, you know, we have to understand that it's the intent. We can't be in a sinful nature and send up prayers to the Most High, send up thanksgiving to the Most High, and think that he accepts that, that it smells good to him. If we are willfully walking in sin, and then, you know, want to give him a thanks, you know, a thanksgiving, want to give him a hallelujah, and think that it smells good to him, it doesn't. It's when we are walking right before him, when we are obeying his voice and we're being obedient and we're not transgressing the covenant, that our thanksgiving and our praise smells good to him. You know, it's like It's like we're offering a sacrifice for sin, and he's saying, that don't smell good to me, or you are willfully in sin. No, that don't smell good to me. I don't care how you try to spin it. It don't smell good to me. It stinks. And so we have to understand that it is the state that we are in spiritually when we are walking upright before him, when we are doing what he says to do. Then our praise and our worship smells good to him. He has no pleasure in it, just like he had no pleasure in those animal sacrifices that were for sin. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Elohim. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach once and for all. Now, this thing this work that the Most High did through Messiah, one man, by one man, sin entered into the world. So he says, okay, by this one man centered into the world, by one man, I'm going to make it to where I can remove sin from the world. But everybody's not going to accept this offering. And everybody's not going to step into the covenant and live the covenant the way the Most High wants them to live it. And, you know, the more I have studied this thing, and the more I've looked at how we do, the more I understand that many are called, few are chosen. And why is that? Out of all the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of people that have ever lived, because they don't really come back into the right covenant with him. They don't come back into the right standing with him. You know, my whole life, being in the church, you know, being taught, nobody has ever really broken this down. And so for the Most High to give it to me, to see it and to teach it so that we might do what he's calling for us to actually do, to obey his voice and to keep his covenants and his judgments. Because when we come back into relationship with him, he didn't change. He didn't change. He says, hey, rather than write this on clay stones, I'm going to write it in the flesh of your heart. I'm going to write it in your mind. But first, let me pay the price that you can't pay for yourself. Okay? And I'm going to change the way that we meet. I told you to build this tabernacle after the pattern that I showed you on the mount when you came up here, Moses. And this pattern is after a pattern of a man. And since this tabernacle represents a man, and I'm going to dwell in this tabernacle, it also represents me dwelling in man. This is what he wanted from the beginning. So he's also telling us that he was going to come as a man. Many different meanings in these verses. Let's continue. Verse 10. But by the which will are we sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now is it comparing the earthly tabernacle and sacrificial system to the one that he's establishing in Messiah? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim. Now, when people read this verse, I am seeing that a lot of times they are interpreting it that the one sacrifice is for all your sin from then and forever. But that's not what he's saying. He said, I sacrificed one time for sin. You get to come to him and make atonement for your sin. And so we come to him realizing that we are sinners and that this is our sin and compare, you know, to what he says we have committed. From that point backwards, and this has already been taught before, that the payment for the sin was for your sins that are past. So you don't get to, you know, you don't get a free ride. You don't get to come to him and say, yes, I'm a sinner, and then continually to knowingly sin. That would, you know, that's to think that your Elohim is stupid. That you know, you got a free ride, and anytime you fall willfully, that he's got to forgive you. And that's not what the scriptures teach. That's what man teaches, but that's not what the scriptures say. So we can't take advantage of him that way. We come, and he is a propitiation for our sins that are past. So the day that we come to him and we acknowledge that he is our master and our savior, and we go down in his name, we are baptized. All of our sins up to that point and past. So up to that point, all your sins in your life were forgiven. Every one of them. And you're supposed to be on a new slate now. Your conscience was supposed to be cleared. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer a debtor. Unless you go back into debt. Unless you go back into sin, then we got a problem. And so he classifies it: ignorant sin and willful sin. If you are doing something that you don't know is wrong, you know, it's not in your heart to do wrong. You don't know you're doing wrong until it's identified to you. He says then you can confess that. And he is sure and just to forgive you. Because your heart is in your heart. That it wasn't in your heart to do wrong. But when we willfully sin, when we do it willfully, we know before we do it, it's wrong. And we choose to do it anyway. Then he's got a whole different mentality about that. And the world is teaching you that, hey, you can get forgiven for anything and everything. Wrong. That is to mock Elohim. And so he doesn't want us doing that. Now, you know, I pray, this is my prayer, that because men don't actually take or understand the gravity, the seriousness of the issue, it's like a form of ignorance, because surely if you understood who you were transgressing against and who you were going against again, if you really understood it, surely you wouldn't do it if you really understood. You know, and that's my prayer to the Most High, that he looks at the ignorance of men and he looks at the stubbornness and the stupidity of men. Look at the effects of this flesh, the effects that it has on man, and that he, if we come to the true knowledge of what we're doing, and that we turn away from it, you know, because it's like a form of blindness where we don't realize what we're doing. We don't realize the gravity of the situation. And once we realize it, then we truly repent. We truly turn away. And I think this is where 90%, 95% of all men are at. And so Messiah comes. He comes to pay the price. He says, now, if you understand what I did and that I'm taking this weight off of you, that you should have a clear conscience, that you should understand that you're a new creature, a new creation in him, and that you won't turn back and do anything willfully disobedient. because you know. And this is what the churches are failing to teach people. They're failing at this. And so we have to, you know, we want to be the elect. The elect have to be obedient. They have to obey. They have to hear his voice and obey and not make excuses to keep doing what they were doing or anything like that. Okay. Now we're going to get to this part of the veil renting and what the Most High has done through Messiah. But I want us to understand that we have to clearly understand that when we put that old man down, we have to truly put him down. Not give in to this flesh. Because you're bringing back guilt. You're bringing back this condemnation on yourself. And rightfully so, when we think about just who we are sinning against and what we're actually doing is breaking this covenant. And the covenant requires, if you break it, it requires your life. So let's continue. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, that means that I'm only going to do this once forever, but it don't mean that all your sins are forgiven forever. Meaning that, oh, I come to you, I was a sinner, I repented, I turned away, and then I willfully sinned again. It don't cover that. That's not what this is saying. And I did this once and forever. Whoever sins, whoever turns away from sin and comes to me, all of their sins up to that point that they know right from wrong and past are forgiven. Not your future sin. Because then he accounts for that. He says, hey, if you ignorantly sin, then I'll forgive you. But if you willfully sin, we got a problem. So we got to understand this so that, you know, we don't keep the same mentality that I can keep falling. I can keep doing that what I know is wrong and it's okay. Because it's not. It's not okay. And so, as I said, the Most High says he would not be mocked. And that's mocking him when you really sit down and you understand it is mocking him. So he says, I won't be mocked. And so we got to understand that this sin, this payment and this sacrifice for sin forever means that I don't have to do this work again. I'm not going back up on that cross 3, 4, 5, 10, 10,000 times to pay for your sin and to pay for the sin of the world. The way I have structured this is I'm going to die one time. And everybody who is a sinner and recognizes that they're a sinner can come to me and repent and get credit for this debt. But they should have the understanding that they don't get to do this over and over again. Just like I died once, you don't get to come and repent, especially for willful sin, over and over again. You get to repent once. Then you should have an understanding. And understand, well, no, I can't keep doing that. Can't keep, you know, transgressing and then thinking that, oh, he's merciful and he's gracious and he's going to keep forgiving me. Doesn't work that way. And so, you know, I blame the church. I blame religiosity I blame the weakness of men that they should want to continue in sin, that their eyes should be blinded by this truth, the truth of the Most High that he has had written. He doesn't play that. Okay, so let's continue. So, sat down on the right hand of Elohim, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So, he's done the work. He says, now it's going to take some time, and I've set some time for all that I should save to be saved. Okay? For by one offering has he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, when you are sanctified, that means that you are set apart. You are living holy. You are doing those things that he said to do. Not in between. Not, I'm there today, tomorrow I'm not. That's ever going to say that you're not going to ever be tempted. But the longer you resist temptation, the less temptation it becomes. Okay, when you are committed to living a holy and a righteous life, temptation doesn't come like that. You might get a different form of temptation. But those old things, they don't come like that because you know what they are. And you are convinced and committed to, no, I'm not doing that. Okay, let's continue. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant. Keeps coming back to covenant. Okay? When we read in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, keep the contract that you have entered into with me. This is the covenant or the contract that I will make with them after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws, not new laws, into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. So before I had Moses to write these things on clay tablets, and then you had to write it in a book. But I want this in your heart. I want my statutes, my laws, and my commandments in your heart and in your mind. That means that you got to study his statutes, laws, and commandments. You got to study his judgments in order for them to be in you. They're not just going to magically appear in you. And see, the problem is that we read them, and inwardly we don't agree. This is what I'm seeing. Not supposed to have tattoos. Then, if somebody reads that and you got a tattoo, all of a sudden you're convicted because you got a tattoo. You got to take that before the Most High and repent of it. Don't make it because that, when you were in the world, you did this thing and now you come and you're contrary, You can't just cut the flesh off. Maybe you don't have the money to get it removed. But the reason that you got it, and whatever it says, you have to repent of it because that's what you say you belong to. The Most High says, don't put them on your body. Or when it came to pets, anything with paws, he says it makes you unclean. I mean, when I read that, saw it this time, I was like, good grief. I had a dog for years and always had dogs. But then he allowed me to see it. So can't have a dog as a pet and be in this word and be his priest because it makes us unclean. And so, don't look at Brother Miles and say, well, why are you saying that? I'm not saying it. The scripture is saying it. I'm just bringing it out because we want to be a holy and clean people before him. If he says that this makes you unclean, then why would you do it? We'll say, oh, I don't eat pork anymore. I don't eat shrimp and those types of things. We'll put that down, but then, some things that we didn't learn, we find out about it and we got a fondness. I understand. Had a fondness for my pet, but he was a pet. But I know there's some people out there that have fondness that goes beyond that this is a pet. It's like their child. And so they have, you know, they have started having earthquakes in diverse places. But whatever we find that are his judgments and his statutes and his commandments, whatever we find that we are contrary to, it's up to us to correct it. Not to ignore the word, but it's up to us to correct it so that we might walk before him upright. Because as long, trust me, once you know it, once you hear it, you ain't gonna never feel the same about that. You might put it in the back of your mind, but trust me, the Most High's gonna bring it back up before you. And you're gonna have this guilt. You can't have a clean conscience before him because you know you're walking contrary. So these are the things they said, I'm gonna put it, my laws into your heart and into your mind. I will write them. And their sins and iniquity I will remember no more. This is what he promises. If you obey, if you come into conformity, then I'm not going to remember your sins anymore, unless what? Now, the scripture is going to say it. I just want us to, you know, understand, reiterate this over and over and over again so that we don't keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again, expecting that it's acceptable to the Most High. Because we're trying to justify ourselves on our terms when he's already given us the terms. And we can't modify them. So he says, I will remember your sins no more and your iniquities no more. I'm going to throw that stuff into the sea of forgetfulness unless you go back and willfully do it. Then we got another problem. Okay, so understand that the scriptures that we're reading, they are true. And what the Most High says he's going to do, he will do. But you got to do your part too. And so we think we got a blank check. And it's not a blank check. And that's the way people treat it. I got a blank check to sin. You know, and my sin is not that bad. Sin is sin. There's only, you know, and as I look at this, there's only a few sins that are not unto death. All of the sin is unto death. It's only a few that are not. So whatever you're doing, 99% chance is unto death. It brings death. Let's continue. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. When the Most High gives remission, forgiveness, you don't have to go get more sacrifice for your old sins. It's wiped away. Wiped away. Clean slate. But as I said, that's for when you come to him and all your sins up to that point in past. But your future sin, anything that you do after that, then it's going to be determined by what was your mindset. Were you doing it in ignorance? It's still sin, but did you knowingly do it? And if you didn't, he says, I'll forgive that. But if you did know, then you got another issue. Okay, you got another problem. Let's keep going. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, that's the Holy of Holies, by the blood of Yeshua. Now the high priest was the only one that could enter into the presence of the Most High. The Most High now reverses that. He says, now you're not going to enter into my presence. I'm going to enter into you. I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to put me in you. So where was the high priest? Only they could go in one time a year into the presence of the Most High. The Most High says, now I'm going to make you the tabernacle and I'm going to enter into you. I'm going to reverse this thing. That's how you can enter into the holiest of holies. The holies is the presence of the Most High. How do you enter into that, into the holiest? By the blood of Yeshua. You are clean, and the Most High says, now I'm going to enter you. So it's a new work, and we're going to see this. Let me move forward. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. Remember, we just read about when Messiah was crucified, when he died, the veil was rent in the Holy of Holies, and the Most High said he would no longer meet Israel there. That is to say, his flesh. Now, when Messiah was walking the earth, John testifies that he saw the Spirit descend on him and remain. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High. When they tore his flesh on the cross, it also represented that the Spirit of the Most High was in him. The Ruach HaKodesh in him is where he was going to meet people at. And so when they tore his flesh, I told you that that tabernacle represented him, that temple and the Holy of Holies represented the flesh of a man, the flesh of Messiah. So when they rent him, the veil in the temple also rented, it tore. And who stepped out? The Father. But I'm no longer going to meet you here. I'm going to meet you in what I've always intended, the flesh of men. The first one being Messiah. Now he says, through this office of Messiah, Messiah is authorized to give the Holy Spirit. It's through this act. So, the Most High is dwelling in flesh. He pays the price for sin. He says, now, when they rent Messiah, when they tore his body, stabbed him with the spear, nailed him through, the Ruach HaKodesh, that represented the tearing of the veil, and the veil in the temple literally tore open. And the Most High says, now I'm going to meet you through flesh. I'm going to offer my Spirit through Christ to everyone. Through the veil of his flesh. So we got to come to Messiah to meet the Most High and then to receive him. This is how we receive the Ruach. We got to be totally repentant toward him. So it's through this veil of his flesh that was ripped for us that now he offers the Ruach HaKodesh to every man. Before, you would have to come to Messiah, and Messiah says, as long as I'm here, the Comforter can't come because he's embodied in me. So I got to ascend out of the earth to send him back. The Spirit, which is my Spirit. And I'm going to offer it. I'm reversing this process where the high priest could only come into the Holy of Holies and see me. Nobody else could. Now I'm going to make each and every one of you a tabernacle. Now when the Ruach HaKodesh descended upon Messiah and stayed there, Messiah became the tabernacle. That he was that tabernacle that the temple represented. He was that true tabernacle. And the Most High was dwelling in that tabernacle. And when men met Messiah, they met the Most High. Elohim in the tabernacle. He says, now I'm going to make it to where you have the same opportunity. I'm going to make you the tabernacle. and I'm going to dwell in you. And when people meet you, they're meeting me. But you got to understand who you are, who you represent. Got to understand that you can't just expect the Most High to dwell anywhere. You know, you go find a house, someplace to live, you got a certain standard. Some people's standards are different than others. The Most High has high standards. And he doesn't want you to defile his house. And I think we'll read that later on. Okay? Got to understand who you are. You are this living tabernacle. Okay. By a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, ripped him open, we have the release of the Ruach HaKodesh, okay, to mankind. I'm living in a man. I'm going to continue to live in men. So as they repent, I will take up residence in them. Okay? And having a high priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See, when we understand what was done and it was taken away from us, that weight is lifted off of us, that evil conscience is guilt. And so we have to truly, truly, truly repent before him and turn away, because if we don't, every time we sin, we bring back this evil conscience. Can't sin and say that you love the Most High and not feel guilty for transgressing. If you can continue to sin and not feel guilty, that means that you have become thick-skinned. You know, you can sin against the Most High, and it don't affect you the same way because you have done it for so long that it don't even make you feel guilty. You'll become desensitized to even transgressing against the Most High. And so we don't want to, you know, we stop having an evil conscience in that way. We know in the back of our mind it's wrong. But we desensitize ourselves so that we can justify ourselves. And it doesn't make us, you know, have this evil, wicked feeling about ourselves. You know, I'm just evil, I'm wicked, I keep doing the wrong thing. We'll justify ourselves. So we want to put that away. We want to kill that completely. And when we transgress, you know, I got a clean slate. So if I transgress, you should feel something terrible because you know what you have done. Okay? Let us draw near with a true heart and full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, guilt, and our bodies washed with pure water. We're not going to be living unholy and unclean. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promise. If you understand the promise, you understand what he's saying to us, then you shouldn't be wavering in your faith, and you shouldn't be wavering in your walk, and you know, shouldn't be tempted by things that you know you shouldn't be doing. You know, when you have committed that you were smoking and you're not going to smoke anymore, can a temptation come? Yes. But typically when you are done with it, you are done with it. Can nobody even tempt you with it? I ain't worried about what you're saying. I'm not smoking no cigarette. That's what he's saying, unwavering. So when we have committed and know that we're done, you're not going to waver in it. You're not going to be tempted with it. You're not going to be, you know, well, I did a little bit. No, you're not going to do it at all. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We want to encourage each other to walk upright. I'm so glad that you stopped smoking, my sister. I'm so glad that you stopped smoking, my brother. I'm so glad that you are living a clean and a holy life. Encourage one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. How can we say we see the end times? We feel like we're in the end times, and we feel like that, you know, the return of Messiah could be at any time. But we don't get better. We should be using that fact alone to encourage one another and to be strong and know that he's going to reward us for our good work. Now, we've been reading all of this. Let's read verse 26, because I'm telling you, you know, we read that he's going to forgive your sins forever, okay? And I told you that that is not future sin. And that those verses, you know, people are taking it as, like I said, a way to just sin and continue to sin. So he breaks it down for us in verse 26. For if we willfully, that's why I said there's ignorant sin and there's willful sin. For if we willfully sin after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. So we are supposed to understand that when we come to him and we become that tabernacle, that we have stopped sinning, that the Most High has taken up residence within us, and that we are that living tabernacle, and that we're not going to willfully sin. We're not going to willfully do something wrong that we know is wrong. Because he says, if we do, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Can't put no more blood on this. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. That fiery indignation is the lake of fire, which shall devour the adversaries, because it makes us adversarial to him. Now I'm going to stop there on this because I've taught this too many times. But from the standpoint of the tabernacle and from the standpoint of how Messiah, how he became that living tabernacle with the Ruach HaKodesh on him, in him, and this is where men met the Most High, and this is what he's doing to us. Okay, so the same process Messiah went through. When John saw the Spirit descend like a dove, as a, you know, as a sign, Messiah already had the Ruach in him. But John had to have a sign that he could see. The Spirit is invisible. John had to have a sign that he could see, so he sees a dove descend. This was the sign that he was given, that this is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, with the Ruach HaKodesh. So now the Spirit of the Most High is dwelling in flesh, and John announces it, but he wasn't dwelling in flesh before then, but John had to announce that this is what was going on. And here's your Elohim, Israel, in the flesh. So we have the Spirit of the Most High walking around in flesh, and is a walking and living and breathing tabernacle. Before, men had to go, one man could only go into the Holy of Holies to speak with the Father. But here it is, the Father walking around. That's why when, I believe it was Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Messiah said to him, have I been so long with you that you have not known me? You looking at him, Peter, the Father in flesh, the Father in tabernacle, the flesh of Messiah. So when they killed Messiah, then the Most High says, okay, this is the sign. I'm ripping the veil in front of the Holy of Holies. Can't come in here on the Day of Atonement anymore. I'm not here. Not going to be here. I am represented in the flesh of a man now. And I'm going to pour out my spirit on all men who truly repent and come to me. And they're going to become tabernacles. Me in them. Offering salvation to mankind. Let's go to let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So I just want to make sure that we understand that we don't take sin lightly, and that we don't, you know, once we know what sin is, we don't do it willfully. Because he says, there ain't no more blood for that. I forgave all of your sin. I gave you a clean conscience. I gave you the ability to have a clean conscience and to know that you were a new creature. But see, we aren't being taught these things, and so we run back into sin because we have given ourselves an avenue to do so. But it's not what the Most High is saying in his word at all. Okay. So he's not going to be mocked. And we have to realize that what Messiah did, that it should give us a clean conscience. Now, I know, as I said, I was guilty of this myself. You have to take it to the Most High, but you have to have a sincere heart. You have to be sincerely sorry and turn away from it. And serve him the way that the scriptures are telling you to serve him. You know, at least he can say, well, at least they finally got it right. Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, your earthly house is known as a what? Tabernacle. We're dissolved, and we have a building of Elohim, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, we're waiting to receive our immortal body. But this is our current tabernacle. This is where we live. And this is where the Most High wants to live. He wants the tabernacle with you, inside of you. I'm not meeting you in a building anymore. I want to live directly in you. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now, this is what we are waiting for. And we know that when we die at the resurrection, we are raised and we receive a new body as it pleases the Most High. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, put our clothes on, put our new tabernacle on, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. In other words, that this mortal body might be swallowed up of an immortal body. Now he that has worked or wrought for us the selfsame thing is Elohim, who has given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. If you buy a house or you buy land, you have to put up earnest money. Earnest money is you can't take it back. Okay, and so you can't get it back. It's like a down payment that you can't get back. It says that I intend to buy this land, therefore I'm locking it up, and nobody else can buy it. Okay? So you can have the Spirit of the Most High. He says, I won't take it from you. It's the earnest of the promise. Still don't mean that I won't condemn you. And so, you know, a lot of people read these things and, again, think that they can't lose their salvation, can't lose their inheritance. But the scriptures also teach that you can. And so we don't ever want to take this, do anything to take this for granted, because that's what people do. If you don't feel, it's just like I said last night, if you feel like you're already a child of the Most High, and that all men are children of the Most High, sons of Elohim, then what reason do they have to change or to become a son of Elohim when Messiah said, it was said that Messiah came and he gave us the power to become the sons of Elohim, which means that we weren't the sons of Elohim until we become. So not all people are the sons of Elohim. Not all people understand that they can have the Spirit of the Most High, and he will still judge if you are in sin. They can still judge you and send you to the lake because you were a disobedient child. And so it's not once saved, always saved. You got to be that obedient child. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are present, we are absent from Yah. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, let me qualify these scriptures. This is if you are walking upright, if you're not willfully sinning. This is when these things apply. We want to take these verses and apply them to ourselves when we're not walking upright before the Most High. We want all of the benefits. We want all of the reward. But then we don't want to do what's required to get the reward. It's not a bad thing to want these things. What's bad is to want them and not be qualified for them, but still want them. So it's like somebody wanting to be a doctor, but then don't want to go to school to study to be a doctor, but they still want to operate on people. They want the reward, they want the status, but they don't want to do what it takes to do it. And so these verses, they apply to the faithful, to those who are doing it. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with Yah. Wherefore we labor, that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. You know, we feel like, hey, no matter what we do, we're accepted. If we fall, we're accepted. He's merciful and he's forgiving. He says, under certain circumstances, yes, I am. I'm merciful and I'm forgiving. If you do this stuff ignorantly, I'm merciful. If you do it willfully, I'm not merciful. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Mashiach, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. So you can have the Spirit of the Most High and stay in sin, because he says, this is the earnest money. I'm not taking that back. But you're still going to appear before my throne, and you're still going to go through judgment, and I'm going to judge you according to your works. I'm going to judge you according to what you did. I gave you my Spirit, and then you decided still to be willfully disobedient. You disqualified yourself. And I'm going to judge you according to what you have done, whether it be good or bad. See, we don't want to hear that. So we got to do and be good. Knowing, therefore, the terror of Yah, you should be very afraid of transgressing. When you read this word, and if all you're seeing is mercy and grace and love and peace and joy, you are deceived. Flat out, period. You are deceived. You are making yourself see what you want to see. Because this book talks about fearing him and his judgment and his wrath and what he's going to do to those that are his enemies. And he tells you what makes you his enemy when you disobey. When you willfully disobey. Because you make yourself adversarial to him. You're my adversary now. You're not my son. You're not my daughter. You're not my child. You are adversarial to me. And I'm going to judge you based upon that. So if you understand the truth, you turn away from your wicked ways, and you walk upright before him, and not thinking that, he understands my weakness. He understands what he's going to do to you. Only type of weakness he understands is, he says, if you ignorantly do it. You did it out of not knowing. And the day that you find out that you are walking contrary to him, you repent of it. The day you find out, you repent. I didn't know. If I'd known, I wouldn't be doing it. I repent. I turn away from that. He says, then he's true and just to forgive you. He says, I'm not going to judge you for something that you didn't know was wrong, that you weren't intentionally, willfully doing wrong. I'm not going to judge you for that. I'll forgive you for that. But you, my child, you know my ways, and you know that I don't play. You know, I'm a terrible Elohim. I'm going to do terrible things to those people when I finally judge them. You know this. And you would put yourself in that category? That's why he says, knowing therefore the terror of Yah, we persuade men. Do you think I'm going to ever stop persuading men to fear Yah and keep his commandments? No, I'm not. You think I'm going to ever stop telling people that the terror of the Most High, that you, if you're walking with him, you've been good grace. But if you're not, if you're adversarial to them, you got something to very much be afraid of. Because people teaching this loving and kind and gracious and merciful, and that's all they teach of him. When he's saying, if you know who I am, one transgression and you deserve death. So you are mischaracterizing me and using it to do what you want to do. I'm not going to be mocked. You're not going to play with me that way. So I don't know why Christianity is teaching what they're teaching, except that they're blinded. So let's read this again. Knowing, therefore, the terror of Yah, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto Elohim, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. you know, that plastic saint. Looks good, talk good, but still willfully sinning. Still, you know, in appearance they look good, but in their heart they're not. And you can't tell me that you got a good heart, but you still willfully sin. You are deceiving yourself. You're justifying yourself. Okay, when we know the truth, then there's no justifying ourselves. We simply have to change and be what it is that he wants us to be. And again, we are still taking, you know, he can still say no to us. I don't never tell anybody that I've made it in. Because the Most High can say, you know what? What you did was not good enough. And he has the right to do that. I'm still going to serve him with everything that I have. I'm still going to try to make it all good because of the error that I was taught. So he will have to judge me based upon my heart. He might say, hey, your heart still wasn't right. I pray he doesn't say that. But even if he does, I will still serve him with everything that I have because I know that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And he is the ultimate judge. So we don't want to take these things for granted. We don't want to teach men that no matter what you do, Elohim will forgive you because that's a lie. We have to know and understand that we got to come to him correct. We got to step to him correctly. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to Elohim, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We were all dead in trespasses and sin. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You got to know that you can't be living. We're to live unto the Most High. We're to live for his voice and to follow his commandments and to do what thus saith Yah Elohim, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more, not through the flesh, not through his body. We know him through the spirit that was in him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. Not the same old man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is what most people should understand. My belief now is that they should even understand this much to this level before they get baptized. That people should be being taught the true nature of this salvation and the true nature of this walk and the true nature of Elohim, so that they make a conscious decision, so that they don't backslide, so that they don't fall, so that they take him seriously and they take the salvation serious, so that they take who they are seriously. Let's continue. And all things are Elohim, are of Elohim, who has reconciled us to himself. You are reconciled to Elohim by Messiah, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I have to ask a question here, because I believe that we have the ministry of reconciliation. We are to bring men, people, to reconcile with the Most High in the spirit of truth. And so I'm going to give you a scenario. You and your spouse have been at odds with each other. okay? And y'all are having disagreements, and you're having fights and arguments. And you sit down and you talk, and you talk out your problems, and you reconcile. Okay, you when you do this, it makes me feel this way. And when I say this, it makes you feel this way. And we agree that we're not going to do those things anymore. I was stepping out on you, and I'm sorry, and you say you can forgive me. We reconcile. And then one or the other of us turns around and does again what we say we wouldn't do. What do you think that's going to do to the reconciliation? Going to tear it up. You said that we don't do this no more. You said that you're going to stop. But here you are doing it again. Do we think that we can do that to the Most High as well? We reconcile people to Him. We teach people how to reconcile and they go back into sin again. They broke the reconciliation because they're not being taught the truth. Elohim will forgive you, but you can't go back into sin because then you break the reconciliation. So we can see it when it's our own personal relationship, but somehow when it comes to the Most High, He's supposed to be above that. And He's telling us, no. You got to be real with me. So we are supposed to have this ministry of reconciliation. We're supposed to show people how to reconcile their relationship with the Most High. Stop sinning. Turn away from your wicked ways. Repent. But what do those things really mean? Here is sin. Examine your life. Are you doing these things? Yes. Turn away from them. Totally. Stop doing them. And be committed to it. Because if you know that it's wrong and you do it again anyway, then Elohim is not going to forgive you for that. See, this is what people aren't telling. And if they are doing stuff in ignorance, you know, when you find out something, you know, because you can't learn everything all at once and somebody can't teach you everything all at once. It's overwhelming. But when you learn that something is wrong, and you're doing it, then you repent of it. You turn away from it. So they have to be taught the truth so that they walk before the Most High and they keep the reconciliation, they keep the relationship going. But when we willfully sin, we willfully break the reconciliation. Oh, I thought you reconciled. You're still doing the same old thing. And you want me to trust you? You want me to believe you? You want me to treat you with dignity and to love you? And you are not trustable? You're not honorable? So the Most High wants us to be the same way with Him. So in order to teach people this, we have to be this. We have to have an understanding and know. You know, you don't get to just go and continue to sin with the Most High. You have to be able to tell them that. So those things that you know to be wrong, don't go back and do them again after you come to Him. And those things that that you don't know, when you know them, you stop them. That's how you grow. That's how you grow in perfection. Can't change what you don't know. But the minute that you know it, you change it. And you walk according to that. But we can't say, you know, I know I shouldn't be doing this. But the temptation is so strong. Man, she's just so fine. I can't help myself. And you're going to go right to the lake. Not helping yourself. You helping yourself. You helping yourself to the lake. So we have to teach them the proper expectation, the proper way to behave and to control themselves. Because we serve a terrible Elohim. He's not playing. Says it too many times in this book. He's not playing. It's us that's been playing with him. And we don't believe just how terrible he is. That's funny. We don't believe how terrible he is because we want to make up in our minds who and what he is. But he's telling us all through this book, even in our salvation, we know how terrible he is. That's why we don't mess up. Apparently, we don't know. Anyway, let's keep going. To wit, that Elohim was in Christ. To wit, the Father was in Christ. To wit, Elohim, the Most High, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I didn't come to judge you the first time around. I came to reconcile with you. I came to sit down and have a conversation with you and let you know how you have offended me and how you can get from under it. And then you say you come and you reconcile, but then you keep going back and offending me. No. So we stop walking according to the flesh. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, for Christ, as though Elohim did beseech you by us. Meaning that the Elohim in us was having a conversation with you, calling you back to him. So the Elohim in me is teaching you the fear of him, the respect of him, and how you should understand that you need to know that he's a terrible Elohim. It's not Brother Miles doing that. It's the Elohim in me doing that. Letting you know that you have to have respect of me. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, for Yeshua, as Elohim did beseech you by us. We pray in you, Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto Elohim, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Elohim in him. So come, look at what the Most High did through Messiah. Accept the work. Understand that when you accept his salvation and his atoning grace, that he has lifted all that stuff off of you unless you go back into it. And that he wants to reconcile. Now for each and every person, let's bow our heads. Actually, I want to go get 1 Peter chapter 4 before we end today, this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Bear with me. We'll go a couple of minutes over. I'm going to read verses 1 through 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 19. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life, the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of Elohim. See, a change here. Not letting this body rule us. Not letting this flesh rule us. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have worked the will of Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. When you, you know, when you used to drink with people and smoke with them and, you know, have feasts with them, you know, we had a party and everything was all good. We were having a good time and things could get out of order. Things could be said. You know, we know how it goes. But then when you stop doing those things and they haven't stopped, they will start talking bad about you. Or you think you all that. Okay. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick, those that are alive, and the dead? He's going to judge both. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to Elohim in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of Elohim. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Elohim. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which Elohim giveth, that Elohim in all things may be glorified through Yeshua HaMashiach, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as you are partaker of Christ's sufferings. So we got to, you know, if we think we're going to make this walk and not go through some things, not be accused, not suffer, then we are wrong. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, for the name of Yeshua, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and Elohim rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. See, it matters why you are suffering. If you're suffering for Messiah, and you're not suffering for doing wrong, like murdering someone, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. See, we're not supposed to be in everybody's business. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. If any man suffer for Christ's sake, for keeping the word of the Most High, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Elohim on this behalf. For this time is come that judgment must begin at the house of Elohim. It's going to be a change that has to start with us. And if first be, and if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of Elohim commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So you're going to get, you know, you start telling people this, you're going to start being accused of all kinds of things. You're taking people's hope from them. You are condemning people. The truth of the matter is you are telling them the truth of the gospel. You cannot continue to sin willfully the way that you are, so that you belong to Christ and think you're going into the kingdom. You're not. Do you think men want to hear that? They don't. So you're trying to correct their behavior, and they will turn around and turn on you. But as long as they're turning on you for the word of Yah, for the testimony of Christ, as long as you are suffering because of you're telling them the truth and not because you are, you know, we've got a lot of our brothers out there getting shot down in the streets and saying that they're shooting them down because they're Hebrews, but then you look at their behavior. What are they out there doing? Do they think that their behavior is pleasing to the Most High? Nine times out of ten, it is not. You know, they're out there getting drunk, revel-rousing, going from house to house, willfully sinning, and then because they are Hebrew or because they are the people of the book, they feel like they deserve some type of special treatment when they are dishonoring their Elohim, and they don't fear him, and think that the nations are supposed to respect them. And so, you know, I have to say it, the sadness of it is, a lot of them are getting what they are deserving. Nevertheless, we got to tell them the truth about the gospel. Got to tell them the truth about their walk. Got to step up their game. They got to do it according to the word of the Most High. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. The only way you're going to renew your mind is to accept the truth of the Most High. To open yourself and to really accept the truth of the Most High and the relationship that he wants with mankind and what it takes for us to be his people and he to be our Elohim. So we're never going to leave this thing. We're never going to leave this word because this is the word of the Most High. And people don't make changes where they don't know they need to make change. And people don't repent when they don't understand what it actually means. When they're being taught a false doctrine. When they're being taught bits and pieces of a doctrine that leads them down a path that they serve an Elohim that they only see one side of. And the side that they're seeing is not what he conveys most of the time. So they're serving an Elohim that is not in this book. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father. We thank you for the richness of your word. We thank you, Father, for opening blind eyes. We thank you for allowing us to see and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, over and over and over in the scripture, you tell us who we are. You tell us that we are that tabernacle. We are your children, that you want to dwell in us, that you want to save mankind through us. We, in and of ourselves, only have to be obedient, obey your voice, make ourselves clean and holy vessels for your use. Father, accept us. Bless the work that we are doing. Bless each and every person as they convert in their hearts to fear you, truly fear you, and to walk in your ways and to obey your voice. And by obeying your voice, choosing life, that we might offer life to other men. Father, we cannot teach people to keep some of your laws and then expect that they would learn to keep them all. But from the very beginning, Father, we need to teach them to keep all of your laws, such as you have had written in our hearts that you have brought forth into the new covenant. Father, we receive them and we will do them. We will walk in them. We will not break the covenant that we have entered into with you. Father, we will not accept weakness, the weakness of the flesh. We crucify it daily. We crucify every thought that would come up that would make us contrary to you. We fight against it. Father, we just want to be pleasing to you. We want to enter into your kingdom. You know what is best. We want you to be our Elohim, and we be your people. These things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. On this evening, we're going to get back into the Elohim of the Blood Covenant. Because we need to, as I said, worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. We want to be excited about worshiping him, but we also want to worship him in knowledge, knowing what he requires, knowing what we have entered into, knowing what is carried forward into the new covenant that we should take into our hearts and live it daily. So we don't want to be guilty of what our forefathers were guilty of, having a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Having a zeal of Elohim, but not fearing him. So we will continue in this until we finish it, because I don't want us to be ignorant. I don't want to be ignorant of the word of the Most High. I don't want to be ignorant in what I teach people. And I want to have a clear conscience that what I'm teaching, the Most High has inspired it, and it is backed by his word. May not draw many people. It's not my concern. My concern is to teach the true word of the Most High. And he will do the drawing. We will lift up Messiah. But we don't want people coming to him in ignorance. We don't want people coming to him with false expectations. We don't want people coming to him and not learning the truth. We don't want people coming to him and making the same mistakes that we made because we were taught wrong, myself included, just taught wrong. We don't want it to be the same. So I pray that you are able to make it out on this evening. I pray that you are not running from the covenant with the Most High, even for that which you find, you know, may offend you. Because, you know, a lot of people get offended, and I see it. I see it. But that you, if you are offended, that you change your ways and that you bring yourself into submission to the Most High Elohim. So we are going to continue in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant. We don't have, I think we're maybe halfway through the laws, the statutes and the commandments. And we're going to try to finish this thing up. I don't know a date. You know, I'm going through them, but speed is not, you know, we've got speed is not the answer. Most of the things we know, but we want to do it in such a way that when we read the New Testament, we understand it's very few things that were changed. The people think that it was a complete change to the law, and it wasn't. The animal sacrifices, if anything, it got stricter. So how the church and how, you know, so-called saints can say they're not up under a law, the law, or how they can think that the New Testament is more liberal than the old, when every example Messiah gave was stricter. Hey, you saw that woman in the Old Testament. She looked good, but you didn't touch her, no foul. You just was thinking about her. You just was looking at her, and yeah, you was lusting, but I said that you had to get caught doing something with her by two or three witnesses. Had to become known, and then it was considered sin. But Messiah said, I tell you that if you lust after her in your heart, you are guilty of sleeping with her. Stricter. So I don't know how, you know, people can take the new covenant and think that the Most High changed it and it got easier. It didn't. Now you're responsible for your thoughts. Before you could have that thought, you could have it a lot. He says that, hey, two or three people can't read your thoughts. So they can't convict you of that. But now I look at your heart and I read your mind. And he's stricter. So it's up to the Most High to help me get it, because I don't see how people can't see it. and how people think that, you know, they're in the new covenant and think that they can break it and it's not going to require their life, especially being filled with the blood of Messiah, not the blood of bulls and goats. So we will continue in this so that we know. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you. We glorify you. We lift you up. Father, encamp your angels around us. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And we'll be so thankful to give you all the credit, the honor, and the glory. And remember, I love you. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. See you this evening.
Rain.